Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Your Personal Finance with Dr. Charles Ross. And it's a Friday here in Atlanta, or as they say, it's a Fri-yay. so excited to make it through another week. Been extremely busy. Get ready to start school back in a couple of weeks. As some of you may know, I'm an educator, and they're bringing kids back. And right now in Atlanta, which is the Atlanta Public Schools, which is where I work, they are starting the first 9 weeks virtually. So that's going to be an interesting proposition. But y'all didn't come here to hear that. You came here to get some financial information, and you will not be disappointed, because my guest today is Neandra Miles. She's a stay-at-home military wife and a full-time student getting her degree in, I think, LCSW. I think that's social work. Her long-term goal is to open an oasis for troubled youth. And believe me, that is so needed, because I do work with at-risk kids in my middle school that I work with. Her husband and both her husband and her want to buy a home in the next – they both want to buy a home in the next year to 2 years, and they're working on their credit to get that updated and increased. And in the last 45 days, she's seen a 42% increase. And right now she's educating individuals and assisting them with financial literacy and restoring folks' credit. And, you know, she is part of a business entity called Financial Education Services. So I welcome Neandra to the show. Hello, Aunt Neandra. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing mighty fine, mighty fine.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to be able to share some information with people that may not know the things that I even had issues understanding growing up, or it wasn't told or taught to me growing up. So thank you for having me.
Well, you know, the thing, you know, is that you shouldn't feel bad, because, you know, we're not taught how to manage money, let alone invest it in the school system, public schools or in college, for that matter. And that's unfortunate, you know, because, you know, I used to write a column for the local paper here, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And I made I polled my readers and asked a question. And the question was, should students have to take and pass a course on personal finance in order to graduate? And Neandra, you know what the percent was? 95% of them said yes.
Absolutely.
Think about this a second. I didn't say just take the class and get it. I said take it and pass it. It means you got to pass it with a C or better in order to graduate. That's significant.
Absolutely.
And I think that's because, you know, obviously the people that were reading my column were adults, and they know how, you know, they messed up with their finances, and they learned in the school of hard knocks. And I like the analogy I like to give is that it's almost as if you gave a 16-year-old the keys to your car, and they never learned to drive, and they darn sure don't have a driver's license. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to have accidents. They're going to bump into stuff. They may even kill themselves or somebody else. Because I remember when I first learned how to drive, I mean, I never been behind such a a vehicle with so much power and weighed so much. It just was daunting. Of course, now it's, you know, you drive with one finger, you know, but, you know, back then it was, and when I learned in the 70s, it was just very daunting. So I like to look at finances the same way. So if you give people money and you haven't taught them what to do with it, they're going to buy things. They're going to buy a lot of the want things versus the need things. And they're going to have accidents, which means they're going to, you know, mess up their credit. They're going to file bankruptcy, you know, and those kinds of things. So I just think it's extremely important that you know, which the path that you're on and that I'm on is trying to educate people to do that. So explain to me, you know, how you came to this. Walk us through how you came to the realization, like, you know, I got to get my financial life together. Walk us through that process. What happened, you know, that made you say, I got to get this together?
Well, okay. First off, like we stated before, you know, it wasn't taught to me, but coming from my background, I also know that just because you weren't taught something doesn't mean if you're given the opportunity to know better, you're supposed to do better. So with me having three children and a husband, he's in the Navy, and they're, you know, in the Navy, a lot of people, we do have certain privileges, and I will be honest about that. But I also knew that when it was time for us to purchase our home, I didn't want to be told no. I wanted to prepare myself. I wanted to be able to have all the bells and whistles, you know, that I actually like. So I told my husband, you know, with the first of the year, a lot of people, you know, they say that they're going to do something and they don't do it. Well, I handle the finances in the home, and I knew that there, you know, we weren't that much in debt, but we still needed work. So I found an amazing leader that I'm with currently on Instagram that I was following for years, and she was in the hair industry. And then I seen her say something about, you know, if you needed your credit fixed. So I got on the phone with her and I got started, and there was no hesitation. You don't have to think about, you know, knowing what you need to do for the future, for yourself, to better yourself. But the opportunity itself, once I realized that they offer way more than just removing the negative items, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, they teach you how to build your score and maintain it, which goes back to what you stated before. None of this stuff was taught to us. So with me, let me take this with the boss that I knew that I wanted to be anyway since I was around 16 years old. Let me use this platform to educate myself so that I could share the wealth with the other individuals that may not have had the same experience that I've had with learning this information. And so with me wanting to work with the troubled youth, with the youth, and I'm going to school to be a licensed clinical social worker, is perfect. I can utilize this and show them the things necessary that they need to do to get to where we are trying to be right now as adults. So I'm trying to get them before they reach adulthood.
And now, even with the pandemic, and, you know, folks are, you know, losing their job. I heard one statistic that said 20% of the restaurants that are out there are not coming back, that mm-hmm. 1 in 5 Americans are either furloughed or unemployed. I mean, it's a very, very, very anxious time right now in America. And so if you don't have your finances together, if you don't have money saved up, if you don't have your credit together, you're going to have a real challenge. When you heard things like statistics like Americans are drowning in total of over $1 trillion in credit card debt, what did you think about when you heard that statistic, or if you're hearing it now for the first time?
That's the first time I heard that number, but I heard there was over 1.7 million that had mm-hmm. filed for unemployment. And the first thing that came to me was like, wow, like, a lot of people are out there that need these services. You know, it's like even through all the pandemic and stuff that's going on, and most people are saying, well, how do you know we're going to be able to come out of that? We do not know exactly the outcome. However, with these services that they offer us, you have the ability to prepare yourself for the worst. And so that was the first thing that came to my mind, that, oh, my God, there are so many people that need our help. We need to reach out to these folks, because it's not just about them, again, removing negative items, but they give you an opportunity to still feed their family while doing so. A lot of people may not want to take on the business side. But if the, again, if something is given to you where you can help yourself, why not take, you know, an opportunity to jump on that? So I just automatically felt like, yeah, this is they need us. They need us out here.
And one of the other statistics that feeds into what you just said is that, you know, 56% of the people in the U.S. have no rainy day funds. That means that, you know, typically, you know, my background is in financial planning and investments. And I, one of the things that I always tell people, you should have at least 3 months of expenses set aside. So you have people that are living literally paycheck to paycheck. So whenever anything comes up that disrupts their normal, you know, lifestyle. So for example, if you have a house and the hot water heater goes out, and that's thousands of dollars to fix that. Or if the car goes on the blink, you have something going on with the car that prevents it from running or running successfully. I've always, me and my wife have this whole formula. We say whenever you go to the car dealer or the auto shop, it's always a magic number, like $500. For some reason, everything is $500. And so you have these things come up. You know, you have some people who come from out of town, eat you out of house at home. You have all kind of stuff going on. So if folks don't have a rainy day fund, if you don't have money set aside, then that's a real, real, real challenge. And, you know, I think that statistic alone says, and when people hear that, most of them probably say, okay, that's me. Well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, because it's not going to get any better, you know. And then, you know, 46% of baby boomers who, that's me, have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. And here's the question that I ask people when I'm talking to them about, you know, getting involved with a protection plan. How are you going to get out of this life alive? And it's kind of a play on words, because what I'm really talking about is retirement. In other words, the life that you're currently living right now, working day to day, when are you going to get out of that and have your day belong to you, where you don't have to punch a clock, where you don't have to get up at 8, 7, 6 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. You can wake up and do your own thing. And I can pretty much think, and I know the financial freedom, Neandra, that I'm sure that a lot of people and your friends have had conversations about, wow, this pandemic, being at home, working from home, this is really cool. You know, I get up, you know, I walk in the next room, and if you're working from home and everything, and you do your business, and you have, you know, no one's looking over your shoulder. I have to believe, Neandra, and share, if any of your friends have, you know, shared with you that, you know, I'd like not having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work and working from home and doing, and not doing your own thing, but, you know, of course, building somebody else's empire. But, you know, have you had those conversations with some of your friends or associates?
I have. But one thing, when you stated earlier about how do people feel like they're going to get out of it, the mentor, Erica Sanford, she's amazing. One thing she said was money is a resource. It goes in circles. And you can't help someone until you help yourself, so to speak. So you have to start somewhere. With this opportunity alone, they give you the budgeting system. That is the ability to help you budget on things that you know that you need help with. So instead of coming up with a plan in your head, all you have to do is input the information and they will calculate it for you. Then they have the credit restoration that literally works on removing the negative items. They have the credit builder, people who are dealing with foreclosures, people that's dealing with child support, bankruptcies, judgments, all of that. You have access to be able to educate yourself so that not only once you remove these things, you know how to not get back in the situation. So with me and two of my best friends, we were supposed to start this together. Once I was told about the opportunity, I always told them I didn't want to go forward without taking them with me. I knew that it starts with the mind. You have to have the mind frame to want that, though. And so one of my best friends, she was murdered, so she wasn't able to join with us.
Sorry to
literally
hear.
A month before. Thank you. A month before I got started. So that's another thing that fuels me up. I knew that we would have been out and running with this whole opportunity, because it was just, you know, us trying to move forward to say we do not have to be the way that our environment showed us growing up, what our parents didn't teach us or what wasn't, you know, explain to us. So I've had these conversations, and one of the other ones, you know, she's with it, she supports me, but she chose not to run as hard as me. But you have an option, and once it's presented to you, then you have an option to take that information and to help yourself as well as helping others. So if you're in it and you're just in it to just think about yourself, you won't get too far, because the key is to really help other people, and it comes right back to you, though. That's,
you know, and you brought up a point that what the reason why I share the you know, the protection plan with everybody that I know, because here's what I don't want to happen. 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and they see my wife and I just enjoying ourselves, doing it, living the life. I don't want them to come back and say, "How are y'all able to do all this?" And I say, "Hey, I tried to introduce you to, you know, the program and the business opportunity, and if you didn't want that, at least, you know, become a customer, and, you know, you turned me down, you know." So I want to be able to have confidence that I'm not going to prejudge the people that don't want to be a part of giving their financial life together, because you don't know. Now, one thing I did find out, Neandra, and you may have found this out, is that, because you alluded to it with your friend that's not running as hard, that first of all, everybody's not for this life, for being in business. And second, the people that you thought would help you, like your best friends or your little circle, they're not sending you any referrals. They're not telling anybody about what you're doing. And my team that I have, I had to kind of, you know, because I've been in sales before, okay? I had a syndicated radio for 20 years, so I understand the sales process. And I had to let them know that, hey, everybody is not going to be happy for you. Everybody is not going to want to help you be successful, even your best friends, because you'll find that they don't want you to surpass them. You follow me? They think that we're all in this together. If you got married folks, you figure that everybody's making about the same money. But if you start inching out, guess what? They don't like that, because now they've got to look at themselves and say, now, what are they doing that I'm not doing? I don't like that they're going to be able to go on trips and take vacations and put money away and work for themselves. And that's real. And that was disturbing to me. But once I got past that, I said, okay,
that's key.
So
did you find that the case,
the people you thought were going to send you referrals and help you did not help you? Did you find that to be the case? I'm just trying to, this is like
so
a new little survey.
I wanted to clarify, the best friend that's not running as hard, I will say that she literally did everything that I asked her to do except run as hard as I am. I have to know the personalities that I'm dealing with as well. And so to know that is to not take it personal with everybody that is in my circle. But I did find that the case with other people that I am close to, that they, you know, they may share some information. But again, if it's not their interest, then, you know, I learned period point blank to not take it personal. This is my journey. I was expecting more support, and I didn't. But guess what? That didn't stop me. I know that I have a mission to accomplish, and I'm just going to go ahead and get it done.
Well, that, you know, and I say that to, you know, I guess the fraternity, the sorority that we're in, you know, as far as, you know, helping people with their financial lives, that it just goes with the territory. So my mentor, you know, who is my business partner, Juanita Kraft, who brought me in, she, you know, we had to compare notes, you know, and that's interesting, because, you know, you can't take it personal, but then you say, you know, who is your real friends? You know what I mean? Because if someone came, if a friend came to me and said, "Hey, I'm starting a business, and you know, do you have some people I think that, you know, to benefit from it?" I think and say, "Yeah, either yes, I do, or no, I don't." You know, but sometimes no's come back in various ways. Sometimes they don't take your call, they don't respond. You know,
That's true.
And I get that. You know, but one of the things that shocked me. Now, I've been, I started in the '80s. I was vice president of investment for one of the largest banks here in Georgia, and one of the statistics. So I've got a background. I've been around the finances for 30, 40 years, right? And one of the things that shocked me, statistics that 43 million Americans have a credit score of less than 599. that shocked me. Now, I think there's like 300 million Americans or something like that, you know, so 43, I'm just going to round up to 50 million, okay? That's a lot of people. I mean, that's about what? That's about a third. No, it's more. It's about about one out of five, something like that, I think, if my math is right. But that's a lot of people. And you can't do a lot of stuff if you got a credit. You can't buy a house if you got a credit score under 600, because most of the FHA guidelines say that I think you need like a 640 credit score at the minimum to be considered. And, you know, so with all these people that have, you know, bad credit, you know, a lot of them have to be motivated to want to change what they're doing. And, you know, that's a big challenge for them. So to have to, because you got to change your lifestyle, because the roadmap, and we'll get into that in a minute, that you go through takes you through all the steps. It is, it's educational, and it's definitely support to help you get your credit score where you need to be. And that's incredible. When you saw that statistic, what did you think about 43 million Americans have a credit score below 600, actually 599 to be exact?
It just, I mean, it didn't shock me, though, to be honest, because I'm thinking about me being 34 and I didn't know it. But then my mother is 62 and it wasn't taught to her to tell me. So to have that large amount, it just didn't shock me with the number. But what shocked me is to know, like you said, we have an amazing opportunity for people to educate themselves, and it still doesn't click to say, okay, let me want more for myself other than what was given to me. When I, you know, just listening to that amount of people, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And, you know, with bad credit, like I said, I already mentioned, you can't buy a house. Now, you can buy a car, but guess what? You know, you're going to pay exorbitant interest rates to be able to buy a car, maybe 20-25% to even buy a car if you have a credit score under, you know, 600. That's probably the only thing you really could buy. And that's because, you know, they know people. If there's 43 million people with bad credit, guess what? The auto industry says, well, we'll come up with a solution for that. We'll have lenders or interest rates or programs so we can sell them a car. And plus, you're probably going to meet a bigger down payment, you know, than you normally would have. And, of course, you know, it just really, you know, it's amazing that people don't want to – I'm not going to say they don't want to, but there's a lot of people that don't want to change what they're doing and spend money to get their life together. And then they want it real quick. How long is this going to take me? Well, I mean, it takes you months to get in there. I'm like, I said, it took you 20 years, 10 years of messing up your credit, and all of a sudden you want it, you know, fixed, you know?
Yes, sir.
You know, we're not laughing on them. We're just saying that if you come to us and you're serious about getting it, this program is going to work. As long as you do what they ask you to do, you know, it is going to work for you. So those conversations are funny, you know, when not funny, but interesting, you know, when we talk about the things that they got to do to get your life together. So let's just really go through well, before we do that, I do want to go and help people understand how their credit score is calculated. And I think one of the first things they do know this, and some of them don't know, that 35% of your credit score is based on, you know, your on-time payments over the last 2 years. Now, most people know that. That makes sense. That's 35%. The other 30% is the capacity and amount you owe, the percent of your credit limits, you know. And so that's 65% of your credit score is based on those two things. Did you know that before you got into this business about those two areas?
I did not. Another thing that I didn't know was that with my very first credit card, I had a $300 limit that they gave me, and I spent the entire $300. No one told me that it should be 30% of what I used. And, you know, that just – it wasn't – you know, that's how – one of the key things that they also pay attention to and calculate.
Right.
But thanks to the company, they shared what to do.
Exactly. And I think that but if you think about it, it makes sense and don't make sense, because everybody understands that, you know, how you pay your bills is a representative of how well you're managing your money. Okay. But the other one about what percentage of your limits you use says, well, why would they give me a $1,000 limit if they don't want me to use all of it?
Right.
These banks make money.
you know, off of, you know, me borrowing up to the limit. I said, yes, they make money, but guess what? They ain't going to lend you any other money if you can't show that you don't really need it. So it's interesting. It's kind
they
of
want you to not seem thirsty.
There you go. They want, and so it's interesting. You know, when I had my company, one of the most conservative banks here in Georgia, I had a $100,000 line of credit, and here's the catch: unsecured.
Wow.
Why? Because my history, I had all my accounts with them. And my history, they showed that I pay my bills on time. I don't really need this money because I got money in the bank. So it's almost as if people got to understand that banks lend to people who don't need the money. That's the way it is.
Yes.
It's counterintuitive, but they want to have people who are going to pay them back. So think about it if someone came to borrow money, you would lend money to only people who you knew had money in the bank and didn't need the money because you know you're going to get your money back, right?
Yeah,
so, you know, exactly. So 30% of the credit. So if it's a $1,000 credit limit, you only want to have about $300 that you use. Now, obviously, you may buy something and go over that 30%, but you quickly want to get it back down. But I guarantee you keep it over the 30%, your credit score is going to change the next month if you don't get it back down. It may change 10 points or 5 points, but it's going to change because that thing changes every month. And see, I've been in banking a long time, and I don't remember. Well, put it this way. We didn't have the tools that we have now to monitor our credit, okay? Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, no, we didn't have that kind of tools. But now – everything runs on credit, and they're very, very much, you know, very interested in making sure you don't overspend yourself. Because just what we said, nobody has a rainy day fund. So guess what? They got to tap those credit cards in order to find out, you know, if they can pay a note or whatever the case may be. So 30%. So now the other three areas are 15% on the length of your credit, how long you've had your accounts.
Sure.
10% on new credit inquiries over the last 12 to 18 months, and then another 10% on the types of credit. And that's very important. You know, do you have installment loans, revolving lines of credit, installment loans like, you know, car loans and things like that? And, of course, revolving is credit cards. One of the things now, this is interesting, Neandra. One of the things I have found is that I hear people, you know, who pay off their credit cards and then close them. And that's not a good idea.
Not good.
You know,
nope,
don't
good.
Do that. Exactly. It's not a good, but some of these radio guys, you know, I'm not going to name any names, are telling people that to focus on paying off their debt. And, as a matter of fact, I posted in one of those groups, I won't name, he's a nationally syndicated, financial radio host. And as a matter of fact, it was a post in a Facebook group I'm not going to tell you who it is, but anyway, and so I posted in there because I'll get in trouble. Well, I may get in trouble, but I don't really care. But anyway, so I posted. I said, well, has anybody in here paying down debt and also investing? And you know what? They deleted my post because it didn't support that financial.
Wow.
I just asked a question. They don't want nobody in that group to do anything that the nationally syndicated host advocates. And I'm like, and these are black folks. It's a black group that supports this guy who is white. And I'm thinking, you don't want to have a conversation? Then another post was talking about that. I know you've heard this out in California, these blessing circles and all that. Has that come out there to California?
Yes,
man.
I'm talking about more phone calls on that than anything ever. They want it right now.
They want it right
now. They're not thinking long term.
But here's the thing, Neandra. I asked, I said, well, you deleted my post, but why are y'all posting this thing about these susus, blended, whatever it is, and people were supporting it? I said, well, how can you have that in there about something that's a scam and people supporting the scam, but I'm asking a question about whether you should invest in addition to eliminating debt. I said, y'all don't know nothing about common sense, first of all.
Seriously.
And I was like, y'all, I'm done. I'm like, okay. I just asked a question, and I got, my post got deleted because I asked a question that are some people, you know, paying off debt and investing. And someone said,
who gets it worse? You know who gives it worse? The people that's not educated. You know,
exactly.
It's just like with religion. Anything can be thrown at you, and you don't know
right.
which way to go because you're not educated on knowing which way to go. And so that's
exactly.
what makes it scary, not for the people that know better, but the people that don't know better.
Exactly. And that was scary to me. I said, y'all are in a cult here. I said, y'all need to read for yourself. Matter of fact, I recommend. Now, I've written two books on personal finance, God's Plans for Your Financial Success and Your Common Sense Guide to Personal Financial Planning. And I would put my book up against any other financial advisor out there. But what I tell people, I said, you shouldn't just buy my book. Buy other folks' book. Get a cross-reference
uh-huh.
about what's in it. And you'll
uh-huh.
see there's some general principles in financial planning that applies to no matter if you're white or black or green or red or yellow. You see what I'm saying? But don't
uh-huh.
follow just
uh-huh.
one person as a cult. Don't follow me just as a cult. You need to have different opinions and use your common
well
sense.
Said.
You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Well,
and so all this focus
mm-hmm.
on this particular talk show host telling people to pay down your debt, I get that. But what are you planning for retirement? Okay? I got to
yeah.
imagine these people are putting into 401ks. I hope he's not telling people don't put in your 401k and just pay down debt. Anyway, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It's just
I had to get that
okay.
I had to get that off my chest cuz I was that blew my mind. That my post got deleted because I just asked the question because I was curious. Anyway, all right. So, oh, wow. Okay, so let's kind of jump into, you know, some of the things that the program provides and help people understand. One of there's 12 different programs, services, credit restoration, credit attorney, wills and trusts, budgeting, debt payoff, credit monitoring, and financial lockbox, identity monitoring, credit builder, net worth, savings goals. These are all these programs. And then they have the youth financial literacy group. That's another one that they provide. So let's talk about the credit restoration part of what it does in terms of, you know, teaching people, you know, about getting their credit together, you know, helping them, you know, teach them that some of the information that you provide, the credit reports are, you know, based on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, but helping them challenge things that are inaccurate, that are just, you know, right out wrong.
Absolutely.
Or absolutely all of that stuff. And share your experience with the credit restoration part of the services.
So what I do know is that there are a lot of people that I come in contact with saying, you know, well, why do you guys charge people for something that they can do free? Well, if they can do it free, they would do it. So one thing I do like about it, because I was once with Lexington Law. They report to all three bureaus at once, regardless if you're $500 or $10,000 in debt. And you don't have to do anything unless you want to, you know, go and educate yourself and pull from the tab to be able to get off more dispute papers. But with the credit restoration, for me, knowing that all I had to do was give them access to pull my report, knowing that they were sending me my dispute papers and all I had to do was overlook my information, sign it, and send it back off. As long as I did what I was supposed to do, they have definitely showed up and done what they were supposed to do. They show you the steps. They want you to go ahead and activate, you know, your credit restoration. That's something that the company at with this roadmap, it's really, like, really helpful for the ones that don't know what to do or not, you know, just spending money and not knowing where their money is going. They tell you to go ahead and begin your credit monitoring and stuff like that. But before I did all that, I went ahead and activated my credit restoration. They sent me my dispute papers. I looked over everything. I signed them, sent them off, and I waited on my results. And out of the four things, two of them got deleted. But that's okay because it takes time. Like you mentioned before, they're constantly working on my behalf and I don't have to do anything but sit and be patient and wait on me to get to my 850 one day.
Oh, yeah, that's the perfect thing, you know. And you know, the challenge is just to get above 700 where you have a good report. And then, of course, 800
yes,
is, you know, excellent, you know. And you can get there. And that's the great thing about the credit portion and the four or five credit areas that credit services they offer is the credit restoration, the credit attorney, the credit monitoring to monitor your credit to make sure no one's, you know, jumping in there messing
uh-huh.
with your credit. the debt payoff, giving you a vehicle to help you pay off your debt over a period of time. And then, of course, the identity monitoring and credit building. What I liked about the credit building part, Neandra, was it gives you a little example. Like, if you do XYZ, your score is now at, let's say, 640. If you do XYZ, your score will be at 720. That, to me, was like, whoa. And I haven't seen any program that gives you that.
That's where the forms were that I was talking about as well, so that, you know, with the credit builder, there, that's where you build, and then you, that's teaching you to maintain it. So it was just like, oh, this is, yeah, this is way worth more than what they are.
Exactly. And I have to say, you know, like I said, I've been in the financial services business for 30, 40 years, and I have never seen a company that has everything in one place. Okay, banks may have certain things. They have investments and savings and this and that and the other. You know, this might have, this company may have this, but something that's all there, and it's and it's first class stuff. I mean, and then you have support where you can call somebody if you're having a problem, or, you know, I tell them, hey, if you got a problem, you know, call me and I'll walk you through what you need to do. And, you know, it's almost too good to be true. And I can't. And when I'm sharing with people about the program, it's hard for me to get in their head what they're going to experience once they get involved. You know what I mean? You know, I wish I could show them exactly, because you can't show them until they actually sign up. Then they'll see the roadmap and say, wow, this is all I'm getting. It's all the stuff I'm getting, because not only is it helping you, you know, improve your credit and increase your credit, but it also is helping you with savings. Because you have a module that helps with savings goals. That's really cool. You can have different goals and keep track of those. One of the goals for my wife and I, in addition to our real estate and retirement goals, is buying an RV. You know, when get to that financial dependence, we want to have an RV. We've been to at least two or three RV shows, and we kind of mentally picked out. And RVs don't cost as much as you think. I mean, you could buy an RV, a decent one, for payments of maybe $300 or $400 or $500 a month. You know, and yeah, I mean, and that's probably a $70,000-$80,000 mid-range. You have the fifth wheel, which is, you know, the, you put it on a, you know, on a truck and you pull it around. But we want a motor. We want one of those things. So anyway, savings goals. One of the key things that I like is the net worth monitor. And let me tell you why I like that. Do you ever hear, Neandra, when they talk about the wealth of some entertainers, athletes, or business folks? You ever hear when they say so-and-so is worth $50 million or something like that? You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You know what the first thing I think about? I said, well, first of all, your net worth is comprised of everything you own, and you subtract out everything you owe. Then your net worth is what's left over. But when they say so-and-so was worth $50 million, I said, well, how are you going to know if that, what that person's debts are? If you know what I'm saying? How would you know that?
Yeah.
They don't share that with anybody. Now, if they sent out a survey, okay, and said, please complete this survey so they can verify that your net worth is XYZ, then that's different. But when they speculate based on royalties or your contracts, especially with athletes and entertainers, I'm like, it should be more like gross net worth and not actually, you know, which is really everything you own.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? I'm just saying, you know, because as a financial guy, that's what I think about. But the net worth thing is so important because it's a better representation of a money manager, not your income. A net worth tells you the money that's come through your hands, how much have you been able to hang on as an asset versus, you know, cars depreciate. So, yes, they're assets, but they're depreciating asset versus real estate or stock investments, mutual funds, businesses, and things like that, increase investment. That's always – so that's a good thing that's happening there. And a lot of people don't calculate that. I guarantee you most Americans don't calculate that unless they own a business or, you know, or in a position where they always have to go to the bank and, you know, share their financials because they got a loan or something. They look at that kind of stuff. So I think that's good. What's your favorite – service out of the 12, Neandra, that you like?
Well, I have to say, with me going to school to be a licensed clinical social worker and working with you, knowing that the $2 of what they charge go towards giving kids scholarships, which is like, oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So they care about the youth like I care about the youth. You know what I'm saying? Like, the kids are our future. I don't care how cliche it sounds. The fact that I am literally trying to reach them before they are at a stage of that someone influenced them so much to where they can't be redirected for whatever, you know, they've dealt with, it just – that's exactly what I'm focused on. But that the YFL Mint, I am so looking forward to being able to share this information with the school, because then that's where it starts. When we just said that it was not told to us growing up, we can change that by offering, you know, this service into the schools. They can go into the schools and teach their children as young as, I think, is it 5 or is it 3?
I think it's after 5 or 6 year olds.
Yeah, from, well, it says 2 to 3. I'm looking at it.
Three?
It's from
two
to three that you can begin teaching them basic addition and stuff like that. And then they come into the schools and, you know, they complete a form, or the people come in from our company and just educate the kids. So that has to be my favorite. Of course, the credit restoration working on my behalf.
Well, the thing, I have been blessed. I got an email from my principal about a couple of weeks ago, and he shared a investing course, a money management course that he wanted me to take a look at, because I'm the resident financial quote guru in the building. And so I said, well, this particular program is pretty expensive. I said, you know, I do have some options that are a little bit cheaper. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to share with him and say, hey, here's a program that is going to help kids. And plus, the way it works is that for every child that finishes the program, they'll donate $2 to the school or something of that nature. You know, so I'm saying, hey, whoever finishes the course over how many weeks it is, they're going to donate $2 for everyone. So not only are kids going to get some good financial information, but it's going to put, you know, some money, you know, towards the school to do some other things that they may not have thought of. Now, there's two programs that I like. One is the budgeting one, you know, because I think that, you know, most Americans don't budget their money, and there's no excuse not to. They just don't, you know, and there's so many ways that you can do it. There are all kinds of programs, but this particular program is built in to the, you know, to the services, one of the 12 services. So I like that one. The other one I like is the one for wills, trusts, and power of attorney. And the reason I say that is that when my kids were young, I know you're 34. My oldest child is 38. So it tells you how old I am. Okay. So when my kids were young, I had, you know, a $1 million policy. But the $1 million policy was owned by a trust called an irrevocable trust. And what that was is that if I had died while they were young, that $1 million would have went into the trust, and then the trust had stipulations on how the money was to be used. So, for example, they could always go into the trust to get money for living expenses. You know, if they were living somewhere, whatever the case may be, housing, that kind of thing, take care of their basic needs, clothes. But then it had stipulations on where they would get lump sums. So, for example, at 18, they may get $100,000 or whatever to help pay for a college education. Then when they graduated college, they may get another $100,000. Then after another 4 or 5 years, they may get another $100,000. Now, why would I put that in my trust? Well, first of all, I put it in the trust because I know if you gave a 18-year-old $1 million, guess what they're going to do? They're going to be partying. They rent a Learjet and going to Jamaica. They invite all their family and friends over. They do it all. But here's the other thing, Neander, that people don't know. A child that is in the states vary, a minor child here in the state of Georgia, I think you have to be at least 16 to not be a minor. But a minor child can't receive $1 million. You know why? Because that money has to go come. They're not going to give you the money in cash, first of all. So it has to come, be sent to a bank. Well, why can't a minor get the money in a bank account? Well, that's because a minor can't sign a contract. And a bank is a contract. That's why you hear these minor children who are actors and entertainers and all this kind of stuff, that their parents or somebody's a guardian over their money. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, there's all opportunities for fraud and things like that, because a minor can't sign a contract. They can't receive the money. So the money has to go into a trust, and then the guardian, usually the parents, monitors that. That's why, you know, you have to have it. Now, I say all that to say, Neandra, because you know how much it cost me for that trust? $5,000.
Oh, but that's worth it, though.
It's worth it. But guess what? With the will trust part of this program, you could get a will and trust set up as part of your.
Oh, that comes with the program. You're absolutely.
Thank you. Sit down.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And I have to explain to people and say, y'all don't know what y'all getting. Y'all getting some good stuff here. See, I'm a little long in the tooth, so I know the value of this. But if someone has never had to go out.
I was just about to say that. You absolutely shut me up.
I'm just saying, a lot of folks don't understand the value of the things that they're paying for. You know,
that's
why this comes to me and says, well, how much does it cost? I said, well, hold up. Let me just go through what you're going to get. Let me explain it. But a lot of people, unfortunately, Neandra, can't appreciate that will and trust portion of the services. That alone, forget about the fact that you get identity monitoring, $1 million policy, okay, that even covers pre-existing identity theft issues. So if you're involved in identity theft, they're going to go back and take care of your stuff. I mean, you're getting a deal, and you don't know you're getting a deal because people
– And when I tell you – That's what I tell. It's something for the rich and the poor. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. And because they've never had to go out and price these things, they don't know. I had a person I was, trying to share the program. I did share the program with, and she was paying $10 less because we're going to get to the money in a minute. Well, I'll get to the money now. The monthly monitoring membership fee is $89. If you sign up as a customer, it's $188, $99 setup fee, $89 first month fee, and then it's $89 every month after that. This person was paying $79 a month just for credit stuff. That's it.
I said,
that's not a good deal. You know, but they didn't understand the value of it. You see what I mean? Sometimes they didn't understand the value of what they were getting. I try to help them understand it by telling the story about the will and trust. And I tell them that story, and sometimes it goes over their head, you know, but they don't understand that you need a will and you need a trust, you know, and you need a power of attorney to make sure that your affairs can be taken care of, as well as the financial lockbox where you put all your, you know, passwords and stuff for your accounts up there. And then you give that key to somebody and say, hey, okay, if something happens to me, you have access to all my accounts. I don't know if you've ever had, I'm sure you said one of your best friends passed away, but if you've ever had a close relative, a mother or father pass away, do you know the chaos that happens in trying to find out where their money is? Because they don't have it all in one place. They didn't leave a document that says, oh, okay, here's my money at this bank. Here's where the mortgage money. Here's my 401k. Here's my pension, yada, yada, yada. No, they don't do that. It's scattered. You're going through drawers and papers trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
This program, you don't have to do that.
Old school,
you know what
right?
I mean? Old school,
absolutely.
You know. So, but, you know, I just think that a lot of people just don't understand, you know, what they're getting. You know, the shop for less part, Neandra, share with us about that. I'm going to sound a little sexist here, that I'm sure you know where I'm going, right?
Well, here's my thing with that.
Say what?
Some people who say that here's my thing with that. Most people say that they don't have 80, some people, I should say, not most, because everybody's not broke. But the people that said that they don't have $89, you're going to go shopping because that's your habit. Well, with the Shop for Less, they give you a 5.4% cash back with things that you were going to purchase anyway. So, you know, you can utilize that, and that comes with the protection plan. Like, there's just really no way other than they just didn't want to, in my eyes, not getting started, you know, because there was no way to not, you know, be able to take advantage of things that you can go when you're buying airline tickets. You're going to a restaurant, they're giving you cash back for purchasing things that you thought was important enough to spend money on anyway.
Like companies like Home Depot, Delta,
yes.
Gap, AMC, Macy's,
yes.
CVS, Lowe's, Chili's, Disney, you know, all these companies,
uh-huh.
all these companies that you're going to spend money with them anyway. So get some money back for it. I mean, you're not changing your habit, you know. And so anyway, but so I was going to say that the women probably can appreciate that because they probably shop more than men. But then I heard that some men shop just as much as women, you know, in terms of trying to buy things and that kind of stuff, in terms of being able to, you know, afford the things. And then you're able to get all this stuff, all these 12 products, you know, for one time setup fee, as I shared, $188, $99 setup fee, $89 first month membership fee, and then $89. And then here's the neat part that to me is like, whoa, if you get five people to get a membership plan, okay, then your membership is free. So,
period.
And it's real easy. I mean, all you have to tell people, hey, listen, you know, I've been doing, trying to get my financial services, my financial life together with Neandra. She's been interested in me a program. Would you mind if she gives you a call? Simple as that. You ain't got to do nothing. And then they share the information, and then you call them, and they do it. They fine. If they're not, you don't. And then what I really like that they have, you know, is that on the plan, the, on their phone, they could put these referrals in their, you know, on their phone. There's a little, you know, tab where they put those referrals, and then you get a little email or text that says, hey, you
yep.
know, somebody referred, you know, Kenesha Wright. Here's her information. You know, give her a call. Simple as that. And they don't have to take a vacuum. I've had some folks, friends, guys that want to be agents start out as customers, and, you know, after, I think, 60, 90
yes,
days, I think,
can
they can become,
over.
Exactly, they can cross Three over but get the, and get those five people going. And I'll be honest with you, not everybody's going to want to do it for whatever reason. I said, but, you know, all you have to do is refer them. It may take 10, 15 people to get the five, but all you're doing is sharing with the people that you know. That's it. You know, real simple, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the greatest things that I think. And I think that, you know, with this pandemic and what's going on, that people need a way to take control of their life, because
yes.
I think right now people are thinking that things are out of control, you know, and things are being politicized for no reason. But at this point, you want to take control of your financial life and say, let me do something different, because if you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results, and you've got to decide.
Get your buying power back.
Exactly. You know, get it back, you know, so. But yeah, I think it's great, you know, Neandra. So, you're at the sales director level right now. So you've been really kicking it for the last, 3 months? You've been in since March. Is that correct?
I have. I just didn't even know at that point what it meant to skip titles, but I had to give it back again to my mentor, because she is not a selfish person. And in order to get there, you have to, like I told you, it's a resource. So you have to give a little to get back. You know, it's going to automatically come back to you. You put in the work, and, you know, she'll show you how to get to where you need to be. And that's another thing that I like. You're not by yourself in this company, not even when it comes to getting your finances together. You have access to customer service. You have access to the individuals that get you started. You're not just basically signing up for something and then being sent off to the wolves. No, we're here to help educate you and guide you until you get to where you need to be. So with me getting to the level that I am, I'm constantly trying to build myself and my brand. And I know that there is no looking back, because if I eventually want to work with the youth, I know that I have to, you know, be able to go through that. Self-development is also something that we are doing that is necessary. A lot of people have not picked up books in years. Now is the time to educate yourself while you're sitting at home and lay it off or don't have much to do. Educate yourself, even if you don't go off what me and you are saying. Go ahead and find out more on what it is that can empower you to do something other than what you, you know, want to do.
Well, my mantra has been that if you don't come out of this pandemic with a new skill, some more knowledge, or a side hustle, you don't lack time, you lack discipline.
Period.
Period. Because if you've been saying, oh, I wish I could have started my own business, or I wish I could have read a book, or I wish I could do this, and now you're sitting at home, cut the darn TV off, stop watching the Real Housewives of L.A. or Atlanta, because they ain't helping you. Now, I don't have a problem. I'm not a big TV guy, okay? But at the same time, I understand people watch – if you watch 4 or 5 hours of television, this I'm wrong. Okay?
Uh-huh.
If you watch 4 or 5, that means you go to work or whatever, and now people are binging on Netflix, Hulu, and all these other things. Okay, binge on reading a book. Binge on thinking about starting a business. Binge on thinking about, you know, going out and maybe improving your health, okay? All right, getting to the gym or whatever the case may be, running, bicycling, which is what I do, you know. So, you know, it's not that you lack time, is that you lack discipline. How are you going to deal with the 24 hours that you've given? And one of the things that I have, you know, on my when I sent out an email, and you might have seen it, you know, and it basically says, you know, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that we have given.
Yeah.
And that's all you have. You've got to decide what you're going to do with the time. And there's so many distractions right now, Neandra, with Facebook.
And that, but, you know, I think that they want it to be that way. Sorry to keep cutting you off, but when I get so passionate about something, it's like the education, to be able to educate ourselves and stuff like that. And shout out to Candy in Atlanta Housewives. I have to give it to her, because if I would, you know, there are some entertainers out there that is really trying to help, you know, educate people and stuff like that. I even reached out to her before. I mean, I didn't get a rebuttal back, but, you know, she has a platform to be able to help people get up to where they need to be. And so when I think about all the classes that she makes, I reached out to her just to say, hey, I'm not looking for a handout for money, but what about getting together to teach people how to create, you know, a buzz around the businesses that they're starting? You know, start a class on something like that, you know, like, so... Other than that, I think that they want us to not stick with something that's going to, again, give us our buying power back, educate ourselves on not needing more than what we think we need, you know, the televisions and shopping for things that's unnecessary and stuff like that. So,
and I get it that people need a distraction. I mean, believe me, I'm not criticizing you if you watch some of these shows, but all I have to say is that be careful about what you put into your head, because that becomes sometimes your reality. You have to be careful about what you allow yourself to watch. You know, I have a big pet peeve, you know, about television and cable, where, you know, I'll start watching a movie, because I like to watch movies. I don't want to watch shows and stuff. And there'll be some what I call X-rated violence. They're cutting people's heads off. Blood is spouting out everywhere. And they're talking about pornography. I said, well, this is pornographic violence. You know what I'm saying? You know, but America goes crazy when they see a nipple. Like, oh, my God, there's a nipple showing. I mean, it's crazy, you know.
You can see
somebody get shot in the head, the bullet go through their head and come out the other side. You can see them get stabbed, their heads cut off. And to me, that's pornographic in terms of violence. And I don't like it because I'm very squeamish. I will pass out when I see blood. So I have no shame. If I go to the doctor, people know I go to the doctor, I will punch a nurse out if they stick me and it hurts. And I'm joking. I won't punch a nurse out because my daughter's an RN, so I won't do that. But my point is that I'm really squeamish, you know. That's why I didn't end up being a veterinarian. I ended up, you know, in radio, TV, film, and education, you know, because I can't stand blood, you know. I can't stand seeing my own blood, you know. Anyway, but these are the things that happen, you know. We so wrapped up in what Jada and Will are doing. I could give a flying fart what they do. That's your personal life. I would have got a red tape. I would have said, because now their business is out there. Every time you see Will, you're like, wow, your wife, you know, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't. I'm like, I don't care what y'all want to know. I ain't telling y'all nothing, you know.
Okay.
And then we got the big thing about Nick Cannon, you know, and his, and here's the thing, I'm going to say this and I'll be done. With Nick Cannon, all I want to say is that you had to listen to the hour and a half YouTube video. Then you had to go to his IG page and look at the books that he was reading that informed his perspective.
But I'm a little behind on that because I didn't even get time to watch it. I've been working, but I'm going to get to it.
No, you can't. What they've done is they've taken down the YouTube video, and he deleted they've deleted all the pictures of the books and stuff that he was reading that informed his theology. So now we don't have a conversation of whether what he said was anti-Semitic or what he said was true or false. That's the conversation we need to have. He said, okay, let's talk about what he said. Is that true? And do your own research. So that tells me that, and YouTube took it down because it was hate speech. And I said, I watched the video. I didn't see anything he said hate. Now, he may have said some things that may not be true. We don't know. So I started doing my own research, and I'm like, well, some of the stuff he said is kind of accurate. Folks have been saying this a long time. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to have that conversation. Just like we don't want to have the conversation about systemic racism, we don't want to have that conversation because then we have to undo a lot of the false teachings that we've had about history.
That's a whole nother talk show.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. But, DeAndre, it's been a pleasure, you know, having you on the show. I wish you much success in what you're doing because I think you're on the right path. How many more years you have before you get your degree?
Next August is when I see the finish line.
Wow. All right. Yes. All right. You know, and I'm assuming, is your husband still in the military?
Yes, he served. He's been in the Navy for 15 years.
Okay, he's going to do his 20, huh, and get out, huh? Maybe.
I don't know if he's going to get out. I think he enjoys being a leader as well. So, you know, we're just looking forward to settling and buying a home and starting a new venture over once we try to find out where our next orders are. But I do
You said you're in Los Angeles? Are you in Los Angeles?
No, we're in San Diego.
Oh, yes. No, San Diego's expensive. And there's a big Navy base there, and I had a friend, one of my daughter's childhood friends, and her mother moved there. She was an RN and moved there, and she had a nice house here. She couldn't buy a house out there because it was
too
expensive.
Absolutely
not. It's very expensive. I mean, and that's probably because all those military folks with them big old salaries out there driving them prices up.
They say it's because of the weather. Because year-round, you know, it doesn't really rain. You get sun majority of the year. So they say you're paying for the scenery and the weather.
All right. Okay. I get it. I mean, I've been to Los Angeles, San Francisco, but I've never been to San Diego. So I'm going to have to, when this pandemic is gone. Hopefully, I may have to put that on our list to go to San Diego and check out, you know, what's so nice about the weather out there, and get a chance to experience that part of California. Well, DeAndre, thank you so much for being a part, and much success to you. Thank you for being on Your Personal Finance.
Same to you.
All righty, take care now. Wow, yeah, I got my juices going, man. I just love talking about people. Women, men who are doing proactive, progressive things, and it just pleases my heart, you know, to find out that folks are trying to make a difference in the lives of individuals. And if you want to be a part of doing that, whether you want to be a customer or you want to have it as a business opportunity, if you're interested in what we've been talking about for the last hour or so, then all you have to do is text credit. CREDIT to this phone number, which is my personal phone number, 404-272-4633. That's all you got to do. And then I'll take it from there. I'll share some information with you. No obligation, no pressure, because, you know, I just want to be able to share with people who are like-minded, who want to make a difference in improving their financial life, whether it's improving their credit or getting the other parts of their financial life together, the budgeting, the savings, the net worth part, the identity monitoring, wills and trusts, which is a great component. So either way, you know, just text credit. The other part of a business that my wife and I, Felicia, are in is on real estate investing. So we've been a real estate investor for a couple of years, and we bought our first property back in August. And this year we're on track to about three or four more. In a couple of weeks, we're going down with a group of friends down to a Middle Georgia to look at some properties and what we're doing. And everybody has different – I mean, real estate is so broad in terms of the different vehicles and different programs or different methods to invest, whether it's fix and flip, buy and hold, wholesaling, apartments, commercial, mobile homes, whatever, okay? But our strategy is a buy and hold. So we're buying properties that are priced at $35,000 and below. And we buy them with 15% down. We found a bank that will lend 15% down. And then we rent them out for anywhere from, from $600 to $700 a month. So you do the math. And our goal is to buy about 20, 25 properties with gross rents a year of about $150,000 a year. If we can't retire on that, there's something wrong. And that's our 3 to 4 year plan. If you want to be a part of that, then text RE for real estate to 442724633. And then I'll share some information and you decide if you want to be a part of that. The reason that we have started the financial services business is because that income from the plans that we present to people, that income goes into our real estate ventures. And so I just have this question to ask you. If you're listening to this broadcast, the question I ask, and I'd love to have an answer to this, you know, because when I ask people, they kind of look at me like I'm crazy, which I can be crazy, but I'm not. At least last time I checked, how are you going to get out of this life alive? And by that, I mean, what's your retirement strategy? Are you investing in a 401k or 403b plan? Have you calculated how much you're going to need to accumulate to be able to start drawing on it? Because you're going to have to draw it down. And even with a 401k or 403b, even if you have $1 million in there, you're going to have to draw it down and you have to pretty much gamble, you know, how long you're going to live, okay? How long you're going to be able to retire? Is it 20 years, 30 years? There's so many people that are in their 70s that they're still working. And I hope and pray a lot of them working because they want to, but a lot of them working because they have to. Because I don't think most people, if they had enough money to retire and still have the current lifestyle, I don't think they'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know I wouldn't, unless I just enjoy doing that. Because, you know, you work all your life for 40 years. You know, the dream we have, the American dream, is to start working at 22, 23 when you get out of college. You work for 40-something years, and then you spend the next 20 years in retirement. And, you know, that works for the powers that be because they need workers. Because think about it. If everybody said, okay, at 22, I'm going to try to strive for financial independence, they wouldn't have any workers. So ask yourself. I would like to have an answer to that, and you can text it to me at that number, or I'm going to give you my email address so that you can, you know, text me an answer. What is your plan for retirement? And my email address is charlesross@outlook.com. And I'd like to have the answer to that, and I'll share that on a future broadcast. I'd like to know what your plans are for retirement. Okay? So that ends the epistle for today. Thank you so much for being a part of the show and, you know, listening to this broadcast on whatever platform you get it from. You know, I really enjoy sharing the stories of people who are doing great things, and I hope you're doing great things. If you're interested in being a guest, if you have an interesting story to tell about business, about your financial life or whatever, or business, then you have my numbers, 442724633. And my email, charlesross@outlook.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Until then, thank you so much for being a part of Your Personal Finance with Dr. Charles Ross.